Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide you with tips and advice on what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Now, our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedians, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. We got them. If they're working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on the show to give you professional career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can either listen or download to any of our past shows by going to our archive page on the LA Talk Radio website. So just go to latalkradio.com, go to channel one. Actually, there's a link at the top and a drop down box? Yeah, drop down box will appear and you click Question Reality and this takes you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available to listen to on iTunes under the podcast section. And we're also on Stitcher.com. So just type Question Reality Radio in the search box. And there we are, all ready to go for you. If you want to find out about our future guests, though, you have to go to a totally different website. That is our official website, which is the Question Reality website. And that is QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. And I want to encourage you to download our new app. It is new and hot and free, which is what I love. Free app for the Android or iPhone. And this way, you'll be able to listen to all of our other exciting and informative shows that are here on LA Talk Radio as well. Now, to download the app, go to the homepage at latalkradio.com. And it's located towards the bottom on the right-hand side. So just have to scroll a little bit, and there we are. But you definitely want to get that app because we got great shows on here. You cannot believe the hot shows that are on LA Talk Radio. We have been on the air since, for 8 years now. I actually started in May of 2008, and LA Talk Radio opened its doors in February of 2008. So we've been here. I'm a pioneer. I'm an original. So we've been on here a long time. Oh, my gosh. As usual. Now, we had this gorgeous girl on our show before. Her name is Valeria Macias. Where is the applause meter? There you go. Yeah. Yes, Albert is not on the ball today. Oh, we, of course, have Albert Baiko, who is our sound engineer, and I like to say co-host. He gives himself a gong. You get applause, too. Valeria Macias, she's a singer-songwriter of the band Future Lovers. And you want to go to the website right now. It's Future Lovers Band.com, futureloversband.com. She's also on Facebook, Future Lovers Bands, and Twitter, Future Lovers LA. And so exciting, we are going to hear her song. It's a single called Come On. And this single is a combination of their original voice with traditional rock instruments, guitar, bass, acoustic drums, but it incorporates heavy synths and catchy drum rhythm. So that song, I listened to it, and it is hot, hot, hot. Now, let me tell you about Val Macias. I hope it's Macias. Is it Macias or Macias?
It's Macias. You're close.
Macias.
Very close.
Val's band, Future Lovers, which, by the way, I love that name. That
Thank
name
you.
Is so hot.
Thank
I love
you.
That name. Val's band, Future Lovers, it's an indie pop quintuple, and they're based out of Los Angeles, and their sound has been influenced by soul and folk contemporaries like the Alabama Shakes, Fitz and the Tantrums, and Edward Sharp. And their most recent EP, Memory is a Monster, I love that title. Where do you come up with these titles? They're fantastic.
Thank you.
It's infectious. It's been called infectious, upbeat, folk pop, and melancholic with a little bit breakup blues. Now, I don't know what breakup blues is. We're going to find out what that is. So, again, go to futureloversband.com. So, without further ado, we want to welcome you, Valerie Macias.
Yay. Hi. Psh.
Oh, my God. I'm going to fire him today. Now, wait a minute. Where
do you have maracas? Do you have any maracas sounds? Something Mexican sounding.
We're going to have to get some just for when Val comes on the show. Now, you brought your lovely boyfriend, Jason. Where is Jason? He's missing. Can you go get Jason Albert for us? Because we want Jason. We want to ask Jason some questions
oh,
on
God.
The scoop on Val. We got to get Jason in here.
Poor we want guy, this show. He's really shy. He's going to be like, no.
No. Well, he can just sit in here and I can eye him up.
Yeah, he's good looking.
Eye him up. Yeah, he's hot. He's a hot. He was not the boyfriend last time.
He's not there.
Where did he go? Is he missing in action?
I can text him.
Text him and tell him to get his butt up here. No. We want to hear the scoop on what it's like to work with you. Now, am I crazy or did I see him actually in the Future Lovers? Is he a band member?
No, he's not.
Oh, my gosh.
He's my biggest fan and biggest supporter, and he keeps me organized and gets me places on time. I am perpetually not punctual, but we've learned. He's learned. It's just if he's on me and he sort of cracks the whip, then I know to be someplace else.
That's what you need. You need someone to help.
He helps me adult.
Oh, but it's so important, you know, because there are things, you know, in a mate that you may lack and they are better at, and it just works. It
no,
really
it's
works.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, Albert, I'm never late for work-related things, but social things, I always find that I'm running late.
Yeah, well, that's
so
okay.
He helps me.
Yeah.
He helps me. So it's kind of the same thing. Now, how long has this been, you and Mr. Jason?
Wow, we're getting into my love life.
We are.
Well, we're coming up on 3 years. And yes, last time I was here.
3 years.
I know, in August. It's
was
wild.
He your boyfriend?
No.
Oh, no.
God, no.
It's been longer than 3 years that you've been on. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's okay. We're fixing it. Probably.
Wow.
Four,
I thought
five.
Maybe you were on like 2 years ago. I guess it
no,
was
I think
longer than there.
Wow. Longer.
Mm-hmm. Now, everything has been. Now, Albert and I were talking about something that. It's very interesting. I don't know if you realize this, but at least my information on bands is that it is very, very difficult to keep bands together.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about how does Val keep this band, Future Lovers, together? Because, I mean, maybe I'm crazy, because they all have a beard and look alike, but I could swear that these are the same guys that were with you in the band when you were here last time, which obviously was longer than 3 years ago.
Yeah, they were. So we used to be Val and her lovers, and that's when we were really much more folksy and bluesy, and I think we put like a little bit less time into production and sort of just focused on jamming more. But honestly, we chose to change our band name to Future Lovers because we're changing genres and we're going into a synth pop electro vibe, very dancey, which I am so stoked about. And yes, it's been the same guys, barring a drummer. We do have a drummer, but he's been with us now for about 3 years.
Well, let's name the band members.
Okay. So there's me, of course, Val Macias, lead singer and songwriter. On guitar, there's Steve Crane. He's got long hair, really, really prominent abs.
Like, oh, well, really with great. That picture,
that.
They all have prominent abs to me.
I
love that
a
picture.
Bit.
I mean, you got to go to her website, futureloversband.com, and look at this. They're all naked from the waist
picture.
Up. Even Val covering her little breastises. Her areolas you will not see.
My
but.
Mother was livid. Okay, so then that was guitar. What else do I have? On bass, Henry Muehlhausen. Another bearded man.
They're all bearded,
yeah.
Right?
I think so. Except for Patrick. Patrick, who's keys, synth, and does backup vocals with us. Patrick Simon, Keith sends backup vocals, and then on drums, Matt Lesser.
What is the secret to keeping a band together as long as you have? I mean, what are you doing to these men? Do you have them all spellbound?
Have you
bewitched them? How?
I'm glad that you asked this question because it's actually really important. And it's first of all, we're lucky in that we're friends. And I think probably for any relationship, whether it's a band or anything, that has to be mutual respect. So I think we really try to be diplomatic. I know in the songwriting process, even though I write the songs for the most part, they're open to interpretation. Hi, Albert's taking a picture of me.
Albert's taking pictures and video. Continue.
We try to be diplomatic. We all try really hard to listen to one another in opinions, and also when we express ourselves, we try really hard to present them in non-confrontational ways so that no one ever feels attacked. It doesn't mean that we don't have disputes sometimes. Certainly we've all had to have moments where we kind of clear the air, but communication has been absolutely integral. There have been times when the band has been feeling stressed for one reason or another, whether it's been business related or we're in the studio and maybe vibes aren't working out, and I try really hard to be the hub of forcing communication between all of us so that nothing ever festers. And the guys all play roles within that, too. You know, I think Henry, we call him, with respect and love, we call him the Den Mother, or we call him Papa Henry, because he's really good about keeping us on time, keeping our business shit in order, reminding us when we have to pay rent for our studio. I think Patrick, is really good about sort of being really bubbly, fun energy, and he's really helpful with me in sort of a creative capacity, and he's really good at, coming up with ideas, and I try to really curate his ideas to create cohesive sounds. So to grab that up.
Are they in other bands or just in this band?
Yeah, no. The guys also have other projects. In fact, I'm going to plug them. So Patrick and Henry, they do another project called The Hugeness.
Oh.
And it's big, huge rock and roll, yeah. And then Patrick is in another band called Big G. And I think they're also doing sort of like Anthemy Rock. I think it's more Patrick's writing. I could be totally wrong. So sorry, Pat, if I'm wrong about that. And not crediting all the writers. But interestingly, and aside, Patrick right now is playing Coachella with Meg Myers. He's playing keys for her right now.
Wow.
I know, it's a big deal. We're blowing up. We're blowing up. Our bandmates
have
are doing
big gigs. Have you ever been part of Coachella?
We haven't yet, but it is definitely on the to-do list. And
yes.
I think that as long as we keep hustling the way we've been hustling, we'll get there. We've been making really big strides this year. We did have our first national television debut performance.
I actually wanted to see you have big news for this year. Now, what is this? First, I wanted to talk about you were featured on a nationally broadcast Emmy Award-winning show, Home and Family, on the Hallmark Channel.
Yay.
And in case I wasn't familiar with this show, I had to look it up, but some of Home and Family's guests have been Dolly Parton, the Pussycat Dolls. I love the Pussycat Dolls.
Sexy ladies.
Matt Rogers and John Cicada.
Yeah.
So tell us, how did that come to be and what happened with that as a result?
Well, I would say the band manager, Will O'Hara, we love him so much. He is one of the directors on the show, and he has lovingly, benevolently subsidized our last Memories and Monster EP. And he's just sort of invested in us, in our career and our future. So he's really helped to organize cool events. And he just, again, he's a director on the show. That's his main career. And he just pitched us to the producers, and they said, yeah, let's have him. So we were really, really lucky to have that break.
Well, what did you do on the show? What type of show is it, for those that don't know?
Okay, so it is, I would say it's kind of like a DIY show where they focus a lot on making great food, sort of entertainment for family. I mean, it's fairly conservative, so, you know, you can't really show any belly buttons too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, really. That's what I said. Mm. What? No thongs on stage. Darn.
What did you do? Were you playing like an intermission? Or?
No, we were actually the featured guests. So we played two full songs. We were interviewed, which was very cool. I would say the hosts, Christina and Mark, were really kind, and they just gave us major plugs. They wore our shirts and asked us about what we do and you know, what influences us. And then, yeah, we just jammed out.
I didn't know you had shirts. You have shirts?
You're right.
Are you selling them on the website?
We are, but you are going to get one for free.
All right. Come now, on. I need the Future voluptuous size. I hope you ordered them. Yes.
We call it the sexy size.
The sexy size it is. There you go. So what happened as a result of that? Anything,
yeah.
You know, anything lead to that?
And the biggest thing that we knew was gonna happen was exposure. So, yes, we did see a major spike on the back end of our website. So we got lots of new viewers, lots of new folks signing up to our email list, which is super important so that we can just keep getting the word out, keep getting build our subscribers. Mm-hmm. And the potential for being invited back, hopefully.
Do you have a clip of being on the show on the website?
Yes, it's not on the website. Actually, you can find it on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and check out our channel, Future Lovers Band, you will see our home and family performances, our song Blue Eyes, and also Come On.
Why not Green Eyes?
Exactly.
Please follow up to Green Eyes.
I'm sorry.
Now, also, Future Lovers has been invited to internationally showcase through World Arts Live? Well, April 15th, so that's coming. Wait, that was Friday! That was tax day! God, the tax day! So what happened?
Well, that was super cool. We ended up getting that gig because we played Hotel Cafe the beginning of the year, and their artist relations girl, Christina Soleto, she's so sweet. She happened to be in the audience and just liked us, and she reached out and booked us. And that was cool because we showcased, it is like a global, they're definitely a global platform, and their role in artist lives, I don't think it's necessarily development. It's more just assisting with exposure and sort of putting artists in the right place to get to the right people. And so, yeah, we ended up having a wonderful Periscope performance.
Can you please tell me what the hell is Periscope? I've been hearing this over and over.
These newfangled applications. So it's a live streaming service, essentially. It's free. So you need to download the application. And literally, you set up your phone and you click live and boom, you're on a live feed to everybody that subscribes to Periscope.
Okay.
And then people can comment.
But what do you have to...
Real time.
Do you use your phone to record yourself?
Yes, use your phone. So, I would recommend... Yeah, you've got the nice big phone. So, yep, just download the app. And then you just look for subscribers. In this case, you would have to download the Periscope app and then look for World Arts Music.
Okay.
And then you could see us through Periscope under the account World Arts Music.
Oh, okay. So you got to set up an account and then you do it. How is that
it's
sort of
easy,
like
though.
That Snapchat or Vine?
Yeah.
Sort of the thing?
It's I would say it's like the video streaming service of Snapchat because it's no longer available once the feed is ended. Oh. So there's sort of like an urgency, I think, between that Periscope sort of offers as a video service. So it's like, oh, you know, the Periscope video is about to start, so you better like hop on time because you could miss it and then you won't be able to recall it again unless it's archived.
Oh.
And I think in this case, Periscope did. Now, let me be clear. I had no idea how Periscope worked either. I was like, news to me. All these kids
You're
with
describing
their new
it. I'm like, I still don't know what the hell happens.
I think it's like going to take me as long as it took me, like, to figure out Periscope, as long as it took me to figure out hashtags. Like,
oh, my God, me too.
Right, they took forever
to
figure out.
What the hell?
I'm a millennial,
darn. I still don't know what the hell hashtag, where does it go? Why do you put the hashtag there? Does it go in a file?
I know.
I still don't get it.
And I still don't get the cloud.
And you are a millennial.
The cloud.
The cloud, where the hell does our shit go?
Thank you.
Who is looking at our shit? And you know, when you take pictures, say, you know, it's a Friday night and you want to take a picture because he's at his hardest and you take that picture, that shit goes in the cloud. You can't even stop it. You can't stop it going to the cloud. It just goes automatically, especially if you have it hooked up to the Google Photos.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about
that. I think
that.
I need to reevaluate my privacy settings.
Yes.
The hashtag, I think I used to use that years ago for tic-tac-toe.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, Albert, I know where you're going with this, and I'm going to give you props because I see what you're doing.
God.
That was a good joke.
Oh, no,
good
it's
job.
Not. He drives me crazy with those
jokes.
That's
what we call hashtag dad joke.
No. What is this future? So it was a success on Friday.
It was super successful, and we are so grateful to World Arts Music. If they're even listening, and I'm sure that they are, we're so grateful. Thank you for having us.
Did they videotape and
they videotaped and they did take an they interviewed the whole band, which was super fun.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that we really need to chill out sometimes because we're like We just talk a lot. And if the five of us are in one line and you ask us questions, we've all got to answer in absolute complete sentences. I was like, if y'all don't shut it down, this is going to continue indefinitely. Yes. Seriously, we will never stop.
Yes. And then they pick and choose who said the best thing. Edit. Now, yeah. Future lover song Blue Eyes, I understand, was chosen as the title track for the YouTube travel show L.A. Blocks.
Yes. Yeah. Have you
Tell
heard
us
of L.A.
about
Blocks?
That. I have never heard of L.A. Blocks. What is that?
It's a really cool show. It's a YouTube show, YouTube channel, and it features all the coolest parts of Los Angeles. So I recommend it, honestly, for like any Angeleno or anybody visiting. So they'll literally find one cool area and just focus on it, find out the history. So they'll review like cool bars, cool new art spots, sort of like pop-up restaurants, pop-up flea markets. Yeah, and that's what they do. It's super rad. It's like, think of like a sweeter, nicer two Anthony Bourdains, but like, again, sweet and nice.
Oh,
not
okay.
Me, like Anthony. I like Anthony Bourdain.
I do, but I wouldn't want to get on his bad side.
I know,
though.
He's a little bit of an asshole. And yes, yeah, so we were really lucky that they liked our song. The creators of the show came to one of our gigs, liked Blue Eyes a lot, and so they used it for the title track, and we are always grateful.
Is Blue Eyes off of the latest EP, or
yeah.
Is that...
Blue Eyes is on the Memory is a Monster EP, and Come On was released as our most recent single, so it's okay. Separate from the Memory is a Monster EP.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the actual album is called... What is it called? The Memory is a Monster.
Yeah,
how many songs?
Four songs, yeah.
Okay. And Blue Eyes is on there. So Blue it's Eyes Blue Eyes, uh-huh. Come On.
Come On is a separate one.
Oh, it's
on
separate.
On the Memory is a Monster, it's Blue Eyes, Always. Hold on. I've got this sad song. And Got Me Good. Sorry.
Got
not
me
in that
good.
Order. Wow.
It's that's on there. Wow, it was a long time ago. Right? Tell me, you said that you were doing one type of music and now you're exploring danceable indie pop.
Yeah.
So why the change? Is it because of the times or why? And that's really good that I don't think I've ever interviewed a band or an artist that had one type of music and then was switching.
Yeah.
So tell me why. Is that like a new trend?
Sure. Well, I mean, yes, I do think that what's relevant in indie rock right now is having synths and electro vibes. It's absolutely happening. There's an 80s revival that's happening, and I think it's important. I know.
Stop it!
Oh, yeah, girl.
You know I still live in the 80s. What?
I know. I love the 80s stuff, too. I'm telling you, all 80s vibes, they are back.
Oh, the B-52s. Belinda Carter. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Is it? This is good news.
Yeah.
So are all of the songs sort of with that retro vibe?
Yeah, or? A little bit. Okay, so... I, just to be clear, I have always wanted to do sort of like edgier, sort of synthy dance stuff, like electro styles. And I don't know, I wasn't writing in that capacity. And I think also I've been developing a lot as a writer, as an artist, and I've been sort of less journalistic about the things that I'm writing. And so I've been able to step back and be realistic about what I've been producing. And that means that I've been able to be more strategic about how I write. So I've been more thoughtful about structure, and I've been really caring profoundly about really strong pop structure.
Mm-hmm.
And being more methodical about applying overall production to the song. So that means instead of just like jamming out on this like sad breakup song because I'm going through a sad breakup, right? Yeah. My life is really steady and happy. So I can focus on like writing about a city that I love very deeply or, I don't know, something fun, and then I can just structure it so it's an actual accessible song, you know, that people want to dance to and have mm-hmm. fun with rather than be sort of introspective with, you know.
Now, Memory is a Monster. First of all, I love that title.
Thank you.
What does it mean? And what, I assume you wrote all the songs.
Yes. Right. Well, to be fair, there were also co-writes in certain songs, yeah.
Okay. So what, Memory is a Monster, did you choose that title?
I did.
Why?
Well, I was reading a John Irving novel at the time. Which one was it? It's a John Irving quote, honestly. I can't take full credit.
Okay.
But it just means, you know, sometimes when we have experiences that are painful, reviewing them can be frightening. But so at the time, like this collection of songs like Blue Eyes, Got Me Good, Sad Song, and what's the other one?
Come On.
Come On. No, that's the
oh,
single.
Oh, yeah, that's the single.
I was terrible. I should just know this off the top of my head. But I would say these four songs, this batch of songs, they were written during a sort of more tumultuous time in my life where I really was just going through difficult relationships and ending relationships. And
and one of the guys had blue eyes.
Yeah, okay. Did. Was, and that's all. Looking back, man, I'm just kicking myself. The ones that are least deserving always get the songs so, from
that's
me.
That's true.
Just
want to
slap them.
Well, look at Adele.
You don't deserve this
I
song.
I mean, I don't know if Adele can ever write any songs better than the ones that she did in that previous album. I mean,
yeah.
I like the new one. What is that new one?
Goodbye.
What is it?
Goodbye or hello?
Hello. It's hello. It's hello. I mean, I like it. It's good. It's all right. But, I mean, her first album, was it 21? You know which one I'm talking about. And every one of those songs, I believe, I hope I'm not wrong, but I believe that it was about her ex-boyfriend, not the one. And I watched a concert that she did in December, and she actually said, these songs are not for the current boyfriend.
Yeah.
These are
their past.
They had their yeah. But it's true. It seems like all of the good songs are about past relationships.
Yeah, well, they're just kind of forged in the fire. And that is the thing about being a real artist, or like some, I think that there's some people contend or maintain that you don't need to be sort of in pain to be artistic. And I agree, right? I mean, but it does not help. I mean, there's like this perfect gray. This is like sweet spot where you're sort of dealing and also a little bit past the worst part. And you're just sort of in the middle so you can have a little bit of perspective, but still some of the sensation and the emotion. And that definitely helps to write. I mean,
what do you think? Is it just me, or has music, you know, in the, I think, 60s and 70s, it was so guitar-oriented. Mm-hmm. Like, they would take 5-10-minute guitar solos. And I've noticed, again, I'm not in the music business, but I noticed that the guitar has become less and less prominent with songs, to the point where I don't even hear guitar sometimes in music. Why is that?
I think it's a trend situation. I mean, so, like, in the 60s and 70s, there was, like, a lot of focus on, like, folk, blues, and so the guitar was necessary because that's where those songs were born from. That's the instrument that cultivated that sound. And then once we got to the 80s, the guitar was still present, the electric guitar, but that's when we really were building on synthesizers and, like, lots of, like, big sort of teethy sounds. And I think that just because we're in an 80s revival situation right now and sort of indie synth stuff... the guitar
is
taking
guitar
a back
coming
seat.
Back? Is a guitar, because I know you have guitar in your...
In the
is
memory.
Is guitar coming
EP.
Back? Or?
We are... Steve
bring
Crane,
it back!
We're kind of taking... The guitar is taking a back seat. I would say that there's a really strong blend between Steve's guitar and Patrick's synths and piano stuff. Where it used to be sort of more guitar-centric, now we're going really heavy synth sounds. Very, very heavy. And so they're working well to find a blend, but I would say... This batch of songs is going to be more Patrick's synths and keys are more of the featured instrument, and Steve's guitar is sort of like helping to support those sounds rather than lead them.
Mm. Yeah, we got to bring guitar back.
But yes. But anyway, so I don't know why. I mean, I don't know trends, man. Like,
yeah. Just
know.
Like they're in singing. Remember when the girls had to do that? What was that called where they sing and they go on these waves? You know, on like American
like vibrato.
Idol. Yeah, they go.
Like trills and turns.
Yes, and now I don't hear that. It's just crazy. I always think, will songs? When will people run out of things to say? Do you think that's ever going to happen?
Nah.
Like, I wonder. I mean, how many times can you say the same thing over and over and over again? I fear that one day
there'll be nothing left.
Well, the day the music died.
Bye,
American Pie.
I think, like, capitalism plays a really large part in sort of this machine of churning out pops and churning out hits and churning out things that are just very easily accessible. And I'm not saying that I don't want major commercial success. I am more than willing to play a stupid song for a lot of money. Happy to do it.
Right.
Everyone listening, literally. But I think that is, like, maybe that's what you're talking about, is just, like, these superficial songs that are accessible for everyone. Like, how many times can we rhyme the word love with dove and it stops being unique. I mean, it's just not anymore. But I think that there's, with regards to music, there's a constant, like, remixing of sounds. So I think uniqueness now is not like we're reinventing the wheel. It's like, how can we thoughtfully reappropriate sounds together to make something fresh sounding?
Plus, there's new people born every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
good point, Albert.
So they keep hearing...
But there used to be a time, like in a year, there would be 5 to 10 top 10 songs, and they became one hit wonders, which we still listen to today.
Yeah.
But from 2000 until now, there have only, and again, I'm not up on every song, but I think there might have been maybe a handful of songs that I can remember that were huge, like. I think, what's that Celine Dion song?
From Titanic?
Yeah, from Titanic. That was huge.
My Heart Will Go On.
Got it. Nailed it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was huge. But then I'm thinking, and then Adele came, and that was huge. But I can't remember, every single year. Like, in the 80s, every year you'd have songs that you still listen to today, and I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? Whoo! I don't even like it. I don't like anything past 1990. I'm gonna just say it right there.
My dad's the same. Well, my dad, he lives in the 70s. He says all the time. He's like, mijita, which means my daughter in Spanish.
Yes.
Mijita. I'm just a dude from the 70s. Yeah. You know? I don't know. I'm
Grateful
from the 70s.
Dead. Yeah. Well, we are. It has come to that time where we are gonna play this song. Now, it is called Come On. It is the single. So if it's a single, is it still by Future Lovers?
Yes,
or
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we released Come On so that it would bridge the changeover in genres, you know?
Okay.
So it's like a little bit old Val and Her Lover sounding with Future Lovers vibes. And that way people aren't just sort of hit in the face.
I wish we had a song from...
From Memories of Monster.
Memories of Monster, yeah.
I don't know, silly.
Send it to me and then I'll play it.
Sounds good, I will.
So this is called Come On. Now, I have to ask you, what is the song about?
Oh my God, I wrote this song so long ago. What is it about?
Or what kind of connection do you have with the song? Or the overall message do you feel?
Well, I remember...
You remember the lyrics, right?
Yeah, I'm like, hold on. I sing them constantly.
Come on!
Okay, so I think I was just breaking up with someone, and I think it was one of those relationships that was volatile, and it was often confusing. Do I stay? Do I go? Do you want to be here? Don't you want to be here? And I am slightly ashamed to say that all of my old songs were about contentious relationships. So pretty much, if you ask me what's going on, I'm going to say, I was probably drunk and, dating an asshole. So
I love it.
There's that.
All right. So now you know what Come On's about. So we are going to hear Come On. And when we come back, we are going to be asking Val some career questions. So without further ado, let's listen to Come On by, should I say Val or should I say
Lovers.
Future Lovers?
Yeah.
Future Lovers! you never know. We got a little distracted because we have Jason in the room with us now, and he has such a fascinating job. He is a writer on a Disney show, and Albert and I had so many questions for him because he's one of many writers, and gosh, I need to interview you separately. And he was telling us how he's one of many writers because I am baffled. Some of these shows, they sometimes have like up to 12 or more writers, so we were just briefly talking about him. But he's shy and he will not come on the radio show.
He won't even get close to the microphone.
I know. It's like it's got some. It's got the Ebola virus. He's way across the room. But thank you anyway for being here, Jason. I appreciate that. So come on. That was a really hot song.
Thanks. I'm glad you like it.
Gosh, I wish that we could hear one from the new album. How is it more poppier? Is it, what do you?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have like any of the blues influence that the EP Memory is a Monster does. Like, I would say that one is, I mean, literally is like bluesy and slightly R&B. Slightly. I mean, ever so slightly. But definitely there was more of a focus on organic instruments and less synth. So yeah, just acoustic drums. We had this awesome Wurlitzer, which is super dope when we were recording that record. We had, what else? I mean, just electric guitar, acoustic guitar.
So how do you change? Okay, so you had a different style when you were doing, was it Val and Her Lovers?
Yeah, Val and Her Lovers.
Okay, so that had a certain musical style, and you decide, we're changing. So
turn this cruise ship around.
Did the writing, because the writing, I would imagine, stayed the same. Was it just the sound of the musicians that changed?
How do you do that? I feel like I changed a lot. As I mentioned earlier, so on this new batch of songs, I've been focusing very, very strongly on pop structure. So I'm literally counting measures for verses, for pre-chorus and a chorus, because there is a specific structure that allows a song to be fully realized within 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh.
And that's important because if you want to get a sync, which is to say sell a song to a television show or a movie or a commercial, they have to be certain lengths. And they need to be general, like they need to be very accessible. So to give you, to finish that answer, I've been focusing on pop structure. Lyrically, I'm just not upset about a relationship. I'm really happy, obviously.
Well,
with Jason, things are good. Life's good.
He's a prize and a half. We'd like to clone him.
He's six foot five, tall drink of water.
Yes, he is. He's a good one. He's a keeper.
And he cooks.
Oh, no, see, didn't I tell you, Albert? Women love men who cook.
I cook.
Yes, you do, in the microwave. It goes right in the microwave. Wow, what's his specialty? I hate talking about in third person, but
he refuses to see. Will not get close to this microphone.
What's his specialty, by the way?
Well, he makes a pretty kick-ass chicken parmigiano.
Oh, I love chicken parmigiano.
I know. He's really good. He like dredges it, like breads it, and makes the sauce from scratch. He also makes chocolate cream pie from scratch. From scratch.
Stop it.
I will not.
You got to be so precise. When you bake.
Well, he's really type A.
You can't wing it.
I love that we've just like gone off, but I'll talk about Jason all day. Jack, this is fun for me.
Oh my God, he is such a cooter. But it's very interesting that I really want to talk about that because I think that beginning singers may not realize that you have to time out a pop song.
Oh
talk
my God.
More about
There's
that.
So much to know about writing a song, and I am still figuring it out, and I think the truth is when you're a writer, you're always figuring it out. You really just So
where would you learn that? Do you Google
how to,
it?
How to write a song? I mean,
how to write a pop song? You think you Google it?
Girl, I could not tell you where to go. I'm sure that there are songwriting classes. I think like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. For me, I just... Trial by fire. It's just taken me many years to figure out that like, oh, there is a structure that's very important and very relevant. And I think a lot of young artists starting out believe that they need to reinvent the wheel. But there's just no such thing in music. Like there's only encapsulating the person that you are. There's only honing your talent, and there's only remixing sounds to create something fresh, right? It's like, that's just how it is. So I would recommend for songwriters, to be journalistic if that's what moves them, but definitely to focus on structure and research different types of structures for songs. Because, like, sometimes there's an ABA series. Sometimes there's, like, a strong chorus that repeats itself. Sometimes, even just lyrically, you can explore different rhyming schemes to sort of create different rhythms.
No, I think the trend, I don't know if it's coming back, but there was a time when these damn songs didn't rhyme. They were novels. There were no Love and Dove and Hope and Soap. And
we were just listening to Bye Bye Miss American Pie on the way.
Bye Bye American Pie. Yeah.
Remember how long that
was? I love
American Pie.
That
was I know. That reminds me of my childhood.
I like rhyming songs. I don't want to hear those non-rhyming songs. Now, for new musical artists, can you tell? I cannot emphasize this so much because a lot of times singers, especially when they're starting out, they think they just want to be focused on the craft. They want to be focused on the art. And they don't realize that it's show business. And you got to focus on your business.
You really do.
Tell us how important it is to promote yourself and your band via social media.
Oh, my God. It's the most important thing. And honestly, I mean, I would say you need to spend at least an hour a day on your social media stuff. Just like you need to be... First of all, make sure that you're marketing yourself in a consistent way. And again, I'm learning this trial by fire. I'm a millennial. I should know better. Yeah. But I have been guilty of just focusing on the songwriting only and forgetting to be organized. But honestly, you need to know where the money is to be had in the music industry, what is realistic in terms of goals. And the only way people are going to hear you, the only way you're going to get those opportunities is if you're putting yourself online, completely online, with a cohesive stamp to it, you know. So you don't need to have the same pictures on all of your social media sites and all your social platforms, but they need to have sort of cohesive feels, you know. So I mean, it's the most important thing. Honestly, once we finally got ourselves up and running on SonicBids, which is something that I recommend.
See, what is that? I've never heard of that.
SonicBids is it's a platform for users, for like bands and artists to go and to seek out opportunities and also to find other people in related field to be a part of your project. There are many different sites that are like this. I use SonicBids just because it's affordable for me. I think we pay about $15 a month for that membership. And there's constantly new opportunities that you can submit your band to, including major festivals. So if you're wondering how to get yourself on a festival, you need to be on one of these sites. I mean, you just need to. And you have to have a complete EPK. Make sure that you have music videos. Which,
that's electronic press kit for those who don't know it.
Yeah, thank you, Priscilla. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. You need to have that
EPK.
What
do you get complete for the $15 a month, the SonicBids?
Well, you get opportunities that are only offered through SonicBids. So, for example, South by Southwest exclusively offers opportunities for unsigned bands through SonicBids. And there is a submission fee. I mean, for lots of these big festivals, there are submission fees. But again, you'll have the opportunity to at least submit and to know about these festivals through a platform like SonicBids.
Wow. So if you're a member, they have, it's like a job, almost like a job
list,
right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, like LinkedIn for the music.
Jobs that are available for musicians.
Yeah.
Where you can submit, like, festivals. Mm-hmm. What else do they have other than festivals?
Well, they have a pretty nice platform to arrange your own EPK, electronic press kit, so that you can send that all a nice one clean little electronic package to promoters, so that you don't need to send your song separately in an email, which looks kind of less professional when you just have an MP3, you know, connected there. So it's like immediate access to your bio, band photos, all of your social media, that's all, you know, in the EPK, and then all of your songs for immediate streaming.
Wow. That's convenient. Really, that's a pretty good price for that.
Yeah, it is. And something that I like.
And can you submit internationally?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Again, though, I do want to make it clear, sometimes you do have to pay extra submission fees. I like SonicBids, and I'm not being asked, obviously, to represent SonicBids, but it's been good for us. The opportunities that have arisen, I'm just shocked at.
What are some competitors of the SonicBids?
I think Reverb Nation.
I've heard of Reverb Nation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know that there are others, and there are also emerging ones. I think that probably World Arts Music, who we just showcased with, I'm guessing that they're going to go in that direction. I think World Arts is still sort of like, they're so new.
And is it, can you be union or non-union? Like, can you be
on SonicBids?
Yeah. Do they have jobs for non-union or union?
They probably have both. Okay. But I mean, essentially, if you're already in the music union, that's already, the union will take care of your payment for that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I know what you're asking. So in terms of payment, often they'll offer terms and services. Or if you are to book a gig via Sonic Bids, they will be clear about what payment looks like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's good. It's been a really useful tool. We've been able to get some features. We've had extra song play. We've been featured on Song Shooters as the song of the day for probably twice this year already, which has been pretty cool for us. And it's also a great place to go and get reviewed. And what is it called? Press. Because is pretty necessary for your EPK as well.
So they have different places that that you can submit. Yeah. And they'll articles and interviews.
Yeah, that's just a facet of the opportunities that are presented.
Okay. So, now, being a musician is hard, right? It's starting out. Most careers are. What advice can you give to a young artist to supplement their income while they're pursuing a job? Because most of them go and do gigs and they don't pay, you know?
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a huge bummer. I mean, for one thing, I recommend not ever paying to play. There's a gig and it's like, I'm not going to say any locations. There are some major spots that will say, hey, here's pre-sale tickets and it's your responsibility to go sell $50. But if you show up on that gig and you didn't, if you didn't sell all those 50 tickets, you're out $500.
Yeah.
It's miserable. Do not do those gigs, dudes. Just don't do it.
Yes.
There are plenty of places that will hire you and they'll pay you at the door if you can bring in at least 10 to 15 heads or more, you know, and maybe they'll give you $5 a head, but there it is. But I would say in terms of supplemental music, you know, see if you can't assist at a music studio, learn your stuff. But more than anything, I would say just don't lose hope. Mm-hmm. You know, stay positive.
Because it's hard because once you start working a day job, it drains you. Oh. And I would imagine as an artist, it's hard to get out and do a gig at night,
Folks drop like flies. I have some very dear friends who are just tired of the hustle. You know,
And it's a hustle.
Oh, my God. It's such a hustle. I mean, it is not for the faint-hearted. It is not for the weak of heart. You know, something else you can do for supplemental music work. You can play in wedding bands. If you're focused on your own craft, don't lose sight, right, of your own work, because that can happen.
Yes.
Or, you know, you can also just get a job at a diner.
Yeah.
And then just keep working. Every time you have your off time, your downtime, go home, write every day. You got to write every day.
And for people who suffer from stage fright just starting out, what are some tips that you can give them? Because I get a lot of emails for new people.
Yeah, wild turkey.
Ah, there you go. That's
whiskey,
my drink.
Scotch,
yes.
Beer. I don't know, man.
Yeah, like, let's get them addicted to alcohol,
you know,
real quick.
This is what I know. I'm like, I am a huge proponent of drinking away your nerves. I'm kidding. I don't mean that.
We don't.
I really don't mean that. No, seriously, I think what is important to remember is that you are going to have failures on stage. That's just how it is. You know, I have some ridiculous stories where, like, I had a total costume malfunction and, like, my tap flew off. I mean, seriously, like, crazy stuff. There's been times when I've just fully forgotten a song and it was just me and a cellist and I was, like, stopped mid-song and had to start over, like, 3 times. But guess what? I'm alive. Nobody dies. Like,
right.
It's not a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, you kind of blew it that day, but you have to blow it a few times.
Yeah.
And once you figure out that...
Have a backup joke. That's what I do.
I mean, you know, it's like, it's cool. People are way more forgiving, I think, than folks realize.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that when we see ourselves online, there are trolls that make us believe that the world is worse to entertainers than it really is. But, you know, haters gonna hate. You got to get up there. Don't be afraid to fail, because you will inevitably. You'll fall off the stage, or a string will burst, and you're going to figure out how to play your song with a busted string.
Or there's some hecklers, and I never know.
And you got to have a backbone, I think, more than anything.
Yes.
You know, just...
What do you think... as the years go by, there are less and less record labels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to... Some people still think that they're going to be discovered by a record label. And can you tell people how that doesn't exist anymore, that you got to get out there and you got to be your sales department, your networking department, your PR department, your ministry. Every department that a business has, that's what you got to be.
Yeah. Well, I do think that, yes, the record deal, the $1 million record deal, is far more elusive than it's ever been.
Yeah. Now, the record labels that are around, they want you to already have a fan base. The first thing they look at is how many Twitter followers you have, how many Facebook, how many Instagram.
Yeah.
And they want the CD done. They want everything done.
Yeah, they want to pick up a package so that they can spend as little amount, you know, and capitalize on that. That doesn't mean that the record labels won't throw money at you so that they can ultimately benefit. But no, those
but you'll be paying it back for a long time. Beware of that. Yeah. Beware of that. If they front you any money.
Yeah, that's on you. Down to the water bottle that you're getting in your hotel room. Yes. Like everything.
So, yes. Don't touch that damn mini bar.
But so, as like, it sounds like it's disheartening, but at the same time, it puts a lot more power in the artist's hands. So, again, this is when it's incredibly important to hustle online. Yes. Have a cohesive package online. And I, honestly, I'm guilty of being slow about it, you know, but we're really pulling it together now and trying to maintain our marketing.
Yes. Oh, my God. She's psychic. She looked at the clock and the gong went off. Yes. Well, I think that it is, as you said, not for the faint-hearted. It will separate the men from the boys, for sure, and the women from the girls, rather.
Thanks, for sure.
And it will, because if you really want to be in this business, you are going to do everything that you need to do. That includes research. Mm-hmm. Again, don't be sitting in your bedroom plucking your strings or singing and think that that's going to be enough. You really do need to know how to market, network, and promote yourself.
Yeah.
So I, Val, want you to come back next year. Don't make it 3-4 years.
I won't. No.
I didn't hear from you for years. I'm like, whatever happened to Val?
No, I was going cocoon mode. But now I'm a beautiful butterfly.
Yes.
A pop butterfly.
So you send me a song from the new album, Memory
Is a Monster.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yeah, so we'll play that. And so anything coming up we should know about real quick?
Yes, we have several shows coming up. The one that I'm most excited about, it's called the Emerging Artists Contest, and that's going to be May 12th. Again, that's the Emerging Artist Contest, May 12th at Rusty Surf Ranch in Santa Monica. We'll hit at 9 p.m., and I'm pumped because if we win this gig, then the winner of this contest gets a spot at the Twilight Concert Series on the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And we're pretty pumped. And actually, we got that opportunity through Sonic Bits.
See that?
Yep, uh-huh.
You need to be... They need to be paying you a commission.
I know,
promoting
at this point.
This.
You're right. You're totally right.
This is going worldwide.
And then, real quick, two other shows we have coming up. On the 22nd of this month, Rusty Surf Ranch, we play at 9 p.m. And then we're playing what's called Girl Cella at the Lexington in downtown Los Angeles. And that is this month. What are we in? April?
April. Yeah, we're April.
Yeah, April 30th. Girl Cella.
Saturday.
Downtown
LA Saturday.
At the Lexington.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So this coming Friday, we'll be at Rusty Surf Ranch. The following Saturday, we're at the Lexington downtown Los Angeles for Girl Cella. And then May 12th, it's the EAC.
You need, I talk about business. Jason, get on this. You need to send out an email list with all your gigs because I didn't know about any of these.
I know. Actually, I'm kicking myself because, and again, do as I say, not as I do. You need to get your newsletters on it.
Yay! All right, everybody. That is Val Macias.
Close.
Macias.
I'll take it.
Macias. Val Macias. FutureLoversBand.com. Go and see her website and check out. I hope you have all those gigs on the website. And we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Thank you. Say goodbye to your fans.
Bye, everybody. Thanks, Priscilla. Thanks, Albert.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.